This morning I want to speak about wrong attitudes which the Lord Jesus deals with and teaches his disciples about. Those wrong attitudes of pride, presumption, and lack of preparation. I've headed the message, Pride of Man and Earthly Glory. And that's where we start this morning. Some of you aren't old enough to remember the boxer Muhammad Ali coming on the scene in the 60s, was it? I was very young as well, mind. But I remember as children how amused we were to hear this brash youngster screaming out, I am the greatest. Because we all thought it of ourselves, but you didn't say it. But here was somebody shouting out that he was the greatest. Pride is something that is with us and near to us all the time. Here is one of the great temptations of Satan. And think now as we approach this subject of pride, think of the timing of this. They are in the upper room. They've observed the Passover, which turns out to be the Last Supper. The Lord Jesus, according to John, had already washed the feet of the disciples, taken a towel, girded it around himself, and had stooped to wash their feet. Clearly this passage that Luke reports is linked to that, to what John records. Luke doesn't mention the washing of the feet, but this is the subject, this is the topic. But they're observing the Last Supper, and the Lord Jesus is sharing with them that this will be the last time that he will be sharing the Passover with his disciples. To think that at that moment, at that time, in such a sacred place, as it were, they are discussing which of them should be the greatest. Was it because John was sitting nearest Jesus, leaning on his breast, as we read elsewhere? Was it Peter, who was outspoken in his dialogue with Jesus and the other disciples, thinking, why is Peter getting all the attention, and why is he purporting to speak for us? And what is his role, and what is my role in relation to our master and our teacher? Dispute arose as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Pride is always present. What a self-contradiction there is in the heart of man. Where does this pride come from? In a moment, we'll hear the Lord Jesus speak of the devil's work, of Satan's work. Well, Satan knew all about pride. He tempted Adam and Eve in the garden to be upwardly mobile, to be like gods, not just be content with having the image of God as human beings, but if they were to eat of the forbidden fruit, they would be like gods. And so there was that temptation to pride and a new, better status. And we are geared, are we not, to seek worldly honor and gain. The roles in society and in life, we speak of the prime minister, the chief executive, or the chief constable, or the head of something, or the chair of something else. And people aspire to these positions to be at least a little bit higher up the pecking order, to be a bit nearer the center of where it's at, to have greater power. Some people are not tempted by financial gain, like Judas, who was a thief and kept the purse and money was involved. That was the temptation for him. But some are tempted to have positions of authority and power and status. Matthew Henry says, this, he says, to do good is better than to look great. But the Lord Jesus is saying it's not just about doing good. He, in fact, speaks of a new attitude, a better attitude. And his guidance to us is this, verse 26, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves, in the way that he had himself done what the lowest member of the household would do, or the youngest, to wash the feet of the disciples. Perhaps they all held back, saying, well, who should wash the feet? I'm not going to do it. So-and-so should do it. He's the youngest. And then Jesus undertakes that role himself and teaches them. And he says, don't be like the kings of this world, the kings of the Gentiles, the pagan world, their lords, and they have the cheek to call themselves the benefactors. I'm sure it isn't the people who call them benefactors. They're called benefactors because it's a title they've accepted, a title of position and pomp, and look what good we're doing to our people, and so on. Don't be like that. Be like the young person. Be the servant. Who is greatest, one who reclines the table, or one who serves? The one who reclines. But you, I am among you as one who serves. And the Lord Jesus guides them then in this way. He gives them guidance. He gives them an example by being a servant. So we have the timing, we have the origin, the work of Satan, we have Jesus' guidance to them, and we also have Jesus' example for washing their feet. We have Jesus' promise as a motivation to us, because he says, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you a kingdom. You will be servants on earth, but you will be rulers in heaven. You will share my kingdom. You will have a kingdom, a feast, and a crown. There's a separate sermon there, isn't there? I'm not going to stay with it. A kingdom, a feast, a banquet, and a crown. When the G8 meet, the climax will be a great banquet for world leaders. You, says Jesus, will be with me in that heavenly banquet when you will sit at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What a prospect, dear friend, this morning. Do you look forward to that prospect of sharing with the Lord Jesus? Then so we should be humble here on earth. We should seek to be humble. We should try hard to be humble. And when we've done that, we should try harder to be humble. Not a false humility, but remembering really what we are and what Jesus has done for us. And that he had to go onto the cross to die because of our sinful hearts, our rebellious hearts. Listen to what one of the greatest apostles said. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And elsewhere he said, to me, though I am the least of all the saints, this grace was given. I've deliberately left a word out there because he didn't say that. He said this, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. The very least. The chief of sinners. The least of the apostles. Here is Paul the apostle, who was recognized and who history records as doing this tremendous work for the Lord Jesus. But his view of himself was that. A wrong attitude. Is that my attitude this morning? Is that your attitude? We want a better position, a better status, to be recognized, to be lauded and applauded. and to have authority and power and respect? Or is it to serve and to minister? And the word diakonos, ministry, tells us of the work of service in the church. The second wrong attitude is presumption. The Lord Jesus, in verse 31 to 34, turns to Simon. I think Simon probably was the one who'd instigated somehow this conversation and this teaching by the Lord Jesus, that his attitude, perhaps his words, perhaps he was the loudest, but he spoke for others as well. And Jesus speaks to him directly. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. What does he mean by that? Well, wheat is sifted, in other words, separated from the grain and the chaff. In olden days, it would be swept up, and the chaff would be blown away by the wind, and the wheat would fall into a lovely pile of wheat grains and food. Or take a kind of raddle, and it's sifted in that way. In other words, separation, a violent shaking in some form or another. And in that violent shaking, the chaff would be blown away. Now, Satan has wanted to have you, Peter, so that you could be blown away. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. The Lord Jesus opens the door on the spirit world, on what is going on behind the scenes, on the fact that there are unseen battles taking place. Satan, as he did with Job, can only act with permission. His power is limited, but he's demanded, let me at Peter, I'll sort him out. Let me take hold of this courageous, strong man, and we'll soon see what he's made of. Satan has demanded to have you, Peter, Simon. And he calls him Simon, not Peter, which would remind us of the rock-like quality of Peter. He calls him by his earlier name. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, if you don't believe in the devil or Satan, you won't know what I'm talking about. But the devil was at work here with Judas. It was the money that led to betrayal. I wonder if Satan would have preferred to have Peter betray Jesus. But here he is, preying on their weaknesses. And what weakness did Peter have, did Simon have? Well, his pride, his presumption, his belief that he was strong, his belief that he was capable, his self-confidence. Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and death. I'll suffer with you. I'll die for you. I'll die with you. He believed he could do these things. And sometimes we too think we're strong and fit and young, and we can do things, we can achieve great things, and we'll be faithful, and so on and so forth. And then we find out how weak we are, how sinful we are, how easily we are led astray, how quickly we fall and stumble and fail. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. And that is the hope for every one of us, isn't it? That when a person backslides, and you and I know people who have been here in this church and have made professions of faith and have given wonderful testimonies, and then something has happened, and it's with sadness that they've turned away from the Lord. But the Lord Jesus has prayed for Peter. There is hope for him because he will be restored. And we should be praying this morning for those who have been weak and knowing that we too are weak and we could stumble and fall and we are only kept by the grace of God. Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter. Do you know, I wonder if we could overhear that prayer. Jesus, outside Capernaum in the early hours of the morning or at night, saying to his heavenly Father, oh, that Peter thinks he can do anything. That Peter is going to be in trouble soon. But Father, keep him. Father, turn him when he has stumbled and fallen. Jesus has seen how his faith could so easily fail. He was the loudest and perhaps the weakest. He had a martyr complex, ready to suffer and die, and he really meant it. Oh yes, he meant it. He would have done it at that point when he made that bold exclamation. And Jesus says, but Peter, I tell you, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. It won't crow this day. When does the rooster crow? It's in the early hours of the morning, when dawn is breaking. Before dawn, this night, you will have three times have said, you don't know me, you have nothing to do with me. You're not my disciple. You're not a disciple. That's how much you'll fall. And the Lord Jesus says this so that Peter would remember his words as he did and was ultimately restored. Matthew Henry again says, Peter is the mouth of the rest and he is made the ear of the rest. That each one of them would have taken this to heart. That only by the power of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus, the prayers of the great advocate, would they be kept in the end. So what can we say to this then? Well, Jesus intercedes for us in heaven now. He knows where you're at. He prays for you. He knows your temptations. And if anyone here is here because you've stumbled, you've fallen, but somehow or other you're here today, the Lord Jesus is concerned for you, loves you, wants you restored, serving him again. And finally, there's another wrong attitude. Another wrong attitude. Finally, we have being prepared. Being prepared. He said to them, when I sent you out with no money or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they said. What an amazing thing to say. You went out in faith, you went out with no capital, just what you were standing in. Did you lack anything? Nothing. Do you know, it's good to look back sometimes, isn't it, to review the faithfulness of God. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. God wonderfully provided. People were hospitable. I can remember two men visiting us when we lived in another part of the country. And they'd come, they said, to do Christian work in the area. And they'd got our address and they came and we offered them tea. And I said to them, where are you staying tonight? And they said, we don't know yet, brother. And I remember thinking at the time that was a good way of being invited. And of course, we had to offer them hospitality. But looking back, people going out in the name of Jesus didn't know where they'd go, where they'd stay, where they'd sleep, what they'd eat, who would provide for them. But they're the conviction that the Heavenly Father would provide. But what does Jesus say here? It's interesting, isn't it? He says, yes, that's what you used to do. But now let the one who has a money bag take it. Likewise a knapsack. Let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Make provision. You need provision and protection. Times have changed. There was a time when they would be welcomed and regarded as the followers of that great teacher, that rabbi. How welcome they would be. But now the master would be taken. Now he would be numbered with the transgressors. Now was a time for being prudent and careful. They now needed to be prepared. They needed to be more careful. And times change, and Christians have to be wise like serpents in a hostile and evil generation. And our times are changing and have changed. Christians now are attacked like never before in our society. And we need to be prudent and careful in a whole myriad of ways. And Jesus explains why, for I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was going to be crucified with transgressors. He would be one of a group of transgressors, criminals. One would be released instead of Jesus. One would be freed, but still he would die between transgressors. And he would always be regarded by the authorities as a transgressor himself. He would be in that cursed group of people. That's what people will say now of Christians, of you, your followers, of the disciples. Oh, you're with that man who died on a cross, whom the authorities crucified. We'd better report you to the authorities. We'd better hand you over. We'd better hand you in. So now times have changed. Be careful. Some people have thought, oh, this is strange, wanting a sword instead of a cloak, protection being more important than being kept warm. It's a figure of speech. We don't apply each one of these. And clearly the kingdom of heaven, and let me say this, were any follower of Islam to get hold of this CD, let me say this, the kingdom of heaven is not a violent belief or kingdom. It's a kingdom of joy and peace and forgiveness and grace. The Lord Jesus never intended them to use swords, even as he said to Peter in the garden, who had misunderstood and cut off Malchus's ear, one of the people who came to arrest Jesus, put up your sword, put it away, for he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. So the Lord Jesus is making it clear, this is not my way, this is not my kingdom. It's a figure of speech here. But the disciples still don't get it. They said, well, we've got two swords between us. It's enough, says Jesus. One commentator says, irony, it is enough. One commentator says, he puts an end to the discussion. That's enough of that. Let's go out. Another says, it's an air of resignation. It's enough. It's enough. Let's go. Because then, verse 39, he came out and went. It's the end of this kind of discussion. So wrong attitudes, we're not to be proud. How can we be proud? We're not to presume that we have the strength, or we're able to achieve anything for the Lord Jesus, or that we're even able to stand except by his grace. And we're to be prepared, and we're to be careful, we're to be wise. Let's pray that in every way we shall be prepared. The Lord Jesus was so prepared. He was prepared to die. He was prepared to give his life as a ransom for many. And when he's speaking to his disciples now, he knows what is ahead of him is the cross. What is ahead of him is the atonement for the sins of the world. May God help us to remember him, and may we indeed be prepared to live for him.